Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Jesus gave a report card to seven churches now lost to history, all located in what is now Turkey. They're found in the book of Revelation, giving us a clear reading on what's important to the Lord of the Church. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer is in a series on light shining in darkness, how the gospel impacts culture. From the sands of Turkey, Erwin Lutzer takes an honest look at the early church and at our church.
I'm impressed with the fact I read the seven letters and I don't hear Jesus say a single thing about the fact that you should be bigger and you should be growing. Now, of course, I believe that churches should be growing. We want to grow as a church. We want to grow to have a greater impact in our community and to touch more lives. But Jesus doesn't say anything about that. All that he talks about is their relationship to him, whether or not they're morally pure, whether or not they're doctrinally sound, whether or not they're compromising with the world and the other things. That's all that Jesus has to say about them. Wow. That's very unlike a lot of books that have been written about the church. They have no political power, none. Jesus said to one of the churches, I know you are poor, and then in parenthesis, but you know you're rich. Wow, that's interesting. That's the church at Smyrna, the one that is being persecuted. Jesus just throws that in. To the church at Philadelphia, he says, in effect, you don't have a lot of might, but you did keep my word. Oh, how differently Jesus looks at the church than the way in which we have been schooled to look at it. So the issue is not the size of the church nearly as much as its character and its relationship to him. That's another lesson that we can learn. Number six, it's not necessary to have freedom to be faithful to the gospel. It's not necessary to have freedom to be faithful to the gospel. We're concerned about our freedoms being gobbled up. Well, yeah, they might be. But, martyrs throughout the centuries have proven you don't have to have freedom to be faithful. Right from the early church, we obey God rather than men. You're going to throw us into prison, but we're not going to stop talking about Jesus. That's all that we can say. And that's always been the pattern. What if I were to tell you this? That more Christians died after the Reformation and were massacred because they believed that one should be baptized upon profession of faith rather than as an infant. On that issue, more Christians died and were massacred than died in the persecutions of Rome. You say, Pastor Lutzer, you can't throw that out without explaining it. Oh, yeah, I can. It's always been the lot of the true church to be persecuted. It's a bloodline. Churches, individuals have always proved you do not need freedom to be faithful to the gospel. Number seven, Jesus knew in every church there would be those who would have ears and those who wouldn't. Those who have ears to hear, let them hear. Well, everybody has ears. Most people do. But they just don't get it. In every church, there are those who get it and those who don't. Those who let it blow past them and those who say, wow, this is a letter from Jesus. We'd better obey it and we'd better listen carefully. There's always two. And the statements that Jesus made about overcomers in the book of Revelation, it boggles your mind. He who overcomes, I'll give him the hidden manna. He who overcomes, I'll give him a name that no one else knows except he and me. Your wife won't even know it, the name that Jesus gives you. It's going to be between you and him. I mean, this is mind-boggling. We get to Laodicea. And by the way, today Laodicea is a pile of stones. You can see the ruins of the city. We walk possibly a half mile at least in Laodicea. There is an old amphitheater there. But that's the church, that's lukewarm. And most people misinterpret what Jesus said. You know, people, I've heard preachers say ever since I was young, something like this. Jesus said, I would that you be cold or hot, but not lukewarm. And so cold was referred to as stone hard. It's better to have a stony, hard, cold heart, or to have a hot heart, which of course is best, but it's better to have a stony, cold heart than it is to be lukewarm. Of course, that's not what Jesus is saying. It doesn't make any sense, even. When you go to Laodicea, you finally see it. I read about this, but now I saw it with my eyes. On the one hand, from Hierapolis, you've got this aqueduct bringing hot water. On the other side, you have another aqueduct coming from the opposite direction, which brought cold water. They used both cold and hot. They used hot as healing. They use cold for refreshment. And what Jesus is saying, either be cold and refresh people or be hot and heal people, but be one or the other. Whatever you do, don't be a combination of that. Don't be lukewarm. That's what Jesus meant. But then to that church, he says, if you overcome, I'll grant to sit with you, for you to sit with me on my throne, even as I overcame and sat on my Father with his throne. You say, Jesus, you can't be serious. Is overcoming worth it? Is it worth it? Think of the promises and think of eternity. We're coming close to the end, but we're not there yet. Number 8. The continuation of the church always depends on its message. Always depends on its message. Would you come with me one more time to Hagia Sophia, the Church of Holy Wisdom? When you go now into the balcony, what you see are crosses that were part of the original masonry. And if you look carefully, you'll notice that those crosses are defaced. The crosses are chiseled out. You can still see that there were crosses there, but they're defaced. 5 years ago, when I was with my Muslim guide, very, very devout Muslim, and we got along very well, though we did have some very strong conversations, he showed them to me, and he said, no Muslim can ever pray in the presence of the cross. We can have pictures of Mary, but we cannot have a cross. I looked at a door, and I thought for a moment that the door had a cross, but actually I went and rubbed my hand, and I realized the cross had been ripped off, and what I saw instead was simply the form, the shadow of where the cross was. And the issue will always be the cross. As I mentioned last time, evangelicals neglect the cross. And it is the cross of Jesus Christ, both preached and lived. Whosoever is not willing to carry his cross and come after me, Jesus said, cannot be my disciple. And the real issue always has to do with the issue of the gospel. And the American church, evangelical church, is abandoning the gospel. And we forget the words of Bonhoeffer, who said, it is not before us, but before the cross that the world trembles. That's number 8. Number 9. We as a church have to think through how to prepare the next generation for what it will face. We have to think through what the next generation will face. About 5 years ago, there was a speaker at Moody Bible Institute who was a convert from Islam to Christianity, and his expertise was Islamic law. And he gave a lecture to the pastors, which he wouldn't allow to be taped. He gave a lecture to us on what it would mean for America if Sharia law were instituted. It was chilling. Perhaps I mentioned to you that after that lecture, I saw him in the Commons and said, let's have coffee together. In the middle of it, we were talking about what to do. And finally, I said, we have to prepare the next generation to be martyrs for Christ. And he pointed his finger at me and put his finger right against my chest and said, that's what God is calling you to do, is to prepare the next generation to be martyrs for Christ. We need to think in those terms, because we need to think historically, we need to think of what the church has gone through in previous eras, and we have to think about what is happening in the United States of America. Now I conclude today by asking you a question. What does the cross mean to you? Can you point to a time in your life when you received Christ as Savior where you say, this is the day I was converted, I acknowledged my sin, I prayed, I received the Lord? If you can't do that, almost surely you aren't saved, even though you think you might be. Lots of deception going on in that area. Because the cross of Christ alone is able to bring us to God. Through the forgiveness of sins, through the bridge between God and man, that Jesus died there so that he was a redeeming God, a redeeming God. And it is to the cross that we cling, and it is the cross that we gladly identify with in our lives privately and publicly. Let us pray. If you've never trusted Christ as Savior, right now say, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and you died for sinners, and I receive you by faith as my sin bearer. Father, whatever the implications are of the cross, we ask today that you'll help us to live it out. May we be faithful. I think of the many people who are here today at the Moody Church. Lord, multiply our numbers, not because numbers are important in terms of ministry, but because numbers represent lives, and lives represent the opportunity of more people hearing the good news of the gospel. We don't want to become large to be known as large. We want to become, Father, what you want us to be in your blessed presence, and you add people to us according to your goodwill and pleasure. May this be a time of dedication, we ask in your blessed name. Amen. Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, and if you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior, we are so encouraged to hear from you. As a matter of fact, we always are encouraged when we hear from our listeners. What you must do is go to moodymedia.org. That's moodymedia.org, and you'll find a contact button there. And if you press that, you can connect with us and let us know that Running to Win has been a blessing to you, and especially if you've come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. Because the gospel that we preach here on Running to Win is a gospel that is special because it is God's personal revelation to us. And in our culture, we must understand that the gospel cannot be combined with other ideas, other philosophies, or other religions. Of necessity, it must stand alone. This is part of a series of messages entitled Light Shining in Darkness, and I hope that you take the opportunity also, and you'll be given that opportunity in just a moment, to make sure that these messages are yours so that you can listen to them again, share them with your friends, be encouraged, because we are called to shine for Jesus Christ.
Erwin Lutzer, wrapping up The Light Shines on Idols, the fourth message in a series on light shining in darkness. Next time on Running to Win, Paul travels back to his Jewish roots. Don't miss The Light Shines in Jerusalem. Light Shining in Darkness, 8 messages on CD, can be yours as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.